This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust,
Rose,
and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Welcome, everybody, to another edition of Horror Movie News. So today, apparently, John Carpenter possibly teased a They Live sequel. My God, I cannot wait if that is real. Also, Robert Englund wants a Nightmare on Elm Street prequel, which is interesting. I would love to see how that happens. And we also have the second trailer for Glass that shattered into the internet, as well as the Pet Sematary trailer that dug its way up from the ground onto the internet. We're going to talk about it. And everybody, remember, this is Horror Movie News.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies.
What you say?
Don't you blame the movies.
Don't you blame them.
Movies don't create psychos.
No, they don't. More creative. Oh! Hello, everybody. Yes, welcome to another edition of Horror Movie News. This is Horror Movie News number 47.
Damn.
Getting close to the 50. Yes, yes, yes. I am your host, Anthony Becerra, and with me I have...
Hello, I am Ollie Drennan, not Carrie D. Lane, who will not be joining us today, unfortunately.
Unfortunately, yes. She's out, let's say she's scaring some people.
Yeah. Oh, yes, she is.
Right on. So, we got a lot to talk about, so I don't want to waste any time. I want to get into where to find us. So, pretty much, if you could subscribe to our YouTube channel at the Popcorn Talk Network, as well as find us on the PopcornTalkNetwork.com official website, and also on social media. If you're one of those social media hounds, you can find us at everywhere, or mainly Twitter and Instagram at Horror News PTN. And lastly, if you like to listen, and you know you're a podcatcher, which I like to call them now. That's just how it is. If you're listening to this on Apple iTunes, please leave a 5-star rating, as well as comment, rate, and subscribe everywhere. And if you're listening to it everywhere else and it allows you to rate, please also rate anywhere you can find it. And also, we are now on Spotify.
Yes,
right.
I love Spotify so much. It's amazing.
Yeah, I pay for the subscription. It's truly great.
Absolutely. Yes. And you can get Hulu. Spotify. Find us on Spotify.
Spotify, yeah. But yeah, so just a breakdown of how we are going to go about this show. First off, I want to talk about the, I guess, family horror movie theatrical release weekend, which is Goosebumps. We're going to talk about that. We're going to get into some news, and then we're going to talk about future releases that are coming up in this weekend, actually, which would be Halloween.
Yes.
And lastly, we're going to do our Abyss and wrap the show out with some fan shoutouts.
Woohoo!
Yes, yes, yes. So let's get started with horror at the box office this weekend. So Goosebumps 2, Haunted Halloween. Did you catch this at all?
I did not catch this, unfortunately.
Okay, because you know why?
Why?
I caught it.
Oh, yes, you did.
Yes, I caught the
Haunted
Halloween.
And you loved it.
I really enjoyed this movie. It's so much fun. So just to talk about some numbers here, it came in fourth place at the box office with $15 million, almost $16 million, and it was between third place, which was First Man, and fourth place, which was Smallfoot. Okay. I mean, my bad, fifth place, which was Smallfoot. Yeah, so two kids' movies came in top five, which is interesting. With a budget of $35 million, it's recuperated now about half of that. So that's good. It's on its way to I believe, be successful.
All right. Yeah, know? Definitely. It already sounds like it. Congratulations, Goosebumps.
Goosebumps.
Goosebumps, too. That's amazing. It's something you really wouldn't expect, but that's awesome for the movie to be able to do that.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy about it. Also, friends of our show, Jeremy Ray Taylor and also Khalil Harris. Oh, my God. Their acting was phenomenal. They had me laughing so much. Jeremy, he played a character who's like kind of like a... he was like a super smart kid. He was working on this project throughout the whole thing that kind of like cuts, like it comes a full circle, you know? And it's pretty great. And Khalil is his buddy who's like an entrepreneur on the rise, and he's like they have this cool company called the Junk Brothers, and they go and pick up Drunk, and they do it for free, and they get to keep whatever they find. And guess what they find is the R.L. Stein his first book that he never finished, and they open it, and then all sorts of shenanigan comes out, including Slappy, the lovable dummy.
Oh my gosh.
And it's so good. Some of the stuff was really creepy. Like, I was just like, oh god, like, but yeah, it was just fun. I gave myself to it. Like, I knew what it was. It was so cool. And just to, like, compared to Goosebumps back in 2015, so it did have a larger opening. 2015 Goosebumps, the first one, did 23 million opening weekend, and domestic was 80 million in total, worldwide with 150 million. So we don't have those numbers yet for Goosebumps because it hasn't had its full run in theaters.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
But yeah, I'm curious to see how it does as well. And I'm not sure if this is a spoiler. Let's just say there might be a third.
Oh, not a spoiler at all. There's always a possibility for a sequel. So, yeah. You know, especially in today where...
And how they set it up at the end is interesting. I was like, I already got my gears turning. Mm-hmm. Not gonna lie, I did enjoy this more than House with a Clock in Its Walls.
Okay.
I don't know.
With Jack Black. Right.
Also with Jack Black, yeah.
He's good at these family horrors.
Yeah, they're both really great. Although I did find House a bit creepier, mainly because of the baby Jack Black scene, which is going to go down.
Oh, that's in the house.
Yeah, okay. That's going to go down like infamy. Like, it's going to be crazy, yeah.
I got to see this film, man. Yeah. Creepy Jack Black baby.
I know, it's so good, too. Like, the effects on that is awesome.
All right.
Let's get into some news.
Absolutely. This is what we're here for. Let's do it.
Yes. Oh, my God. I didn't give you... Oh, you got it, though.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Don't worry. Don't worry. I got
right
it.
On.
I got you.
So, I got the first bit of news here. So, pretty much... John Carpenter is I love this guy.
Yes.
I was able to get a signing of his last year, and I got a picture with him, and I was like super giddy. You can find that on Facebook, and just look up Anthony Becerra, you'll find it there. But yeah, so he was chatting with Den of Geek, and they brought up They Live, pretty much. So they asked him, if you took something like They Live, for example, given how much worse the world and the political landscape have become in the past 25 to 30 years, how would you refashion that today? And his answer was, well, I'm not going to tell you about that because it might be closer to reality than you think. Mm-hmm. Ooh, can I get a sound effect, Steve? When you have the chance. So that's interesting, my God. Because, personally, it's They Live is a film that it's very underrated and also had a really cool political statement. We need it now more than ever, in my opinion, because it's so relevant to, if you have seen it, you know, it's so relevant to today's, like where we are at in society with, consumerism and also, you know.
Wait, Shot in the Dark. Was this the film where, he could see like their skulls?
Shot in the Dark. Oh, wait, no, They Live.
Or is that, am I right?
So he finds yes. glasses.
And then he sees them through, and he sees like the...
The yeah. subliminal messages okay. and the yeah. actual aliens that are like running yeah. the media and everything.
Okay.
And it's a, yeah. So we'll get into it after that. After I
just
I get
wanted
through
to,
this.
I'm like,
no,
yes.
but yes, you are correct. So they had a follow up question, which was, there was a remake in development? ? And then he goes, the answer is, there was a feature film. It was a feature film called Resistance, written by, oh, the guy who did the Apes movie, Matt Reeves. But then he moved on, and so the sequel is, well, we'll see. We'll just have to see.
All right.
Yes.
Well, I think it's needed for, especially in this political climate, for a film.
Yes.
You know, to speak so like so many volumes. Like, I think it's definitely needed, especially if a lot of people don't know it. The great thing about remakes is that people can go back to actually see the remake and, you know, appreciate that so much. as just as much as the actual remake.
Right.
And, if not more.
And it's literally like, it's about a guy who finds these glasses, and he realizes that through media signals, through radio, through TV, these aliens that have infiltrated America's society give off this signal that makes us want to consume more. And also, like, all the billboard ads, when you put on the glasses, it says, like, consume, obey. So it makes us subservient to, in a sense, the media and the state. And it's a very interesting take. It was released back in 1988. It starred Roddy Piper, which is the wrestler, and also Keith Davis. Yeah, and he plays it great. He has a great line in it. If you ever heard a line along these lines, I came here to chew bubblegum and kick ass, and I'm all out of bubblegum. And he shoots up a whole bank, and it's amazing. It's campy. It's campy, but the message is so real. It's so real. And yeah, and to reiterate, I think it's needed. And what do you guys think? Have you guys seen They Live? What do you guys think about it? What do you guys think about the message? Do you think it's relevant to today's times? Because I think it is. There's also multiple articles you can find on it and pretty much talking about it and its relevance to today's society. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so moving on.
Well, speaking into revisiting, you know, old horror classics, Robert Englund, he might want to do a Nightmare on Elm Street prequel. So he was speaking to a crowd at the Monster Mania convention in Hunt Valley, and he had this to say. And start of quote, "I've always thought that not having a prequel is a misruling in the mythology of a Nightmare on Elm Street. It got close to being rectified with Tobe Hooper's pilot for the TV series, and there was a script that was supposedly to be directed by John McNaughton, who did Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer.
That movie's crazy.
There was a prequel script. I think it was called Krueger, The First Kills. See, that already intrigues me. And it was the last children being killed. The two detectives that found Freddy and busted him, then the body of the film were the ambulance chasing sleazy lawyers that get Freddy off. And he ends this with saying, I would love to do a cameo in anything with integrity connected with that franchise. So, that sounds very interesting.
I do like the whole seeing Freddy as a human.
Mm-hmm. I like the idea of, I just feel like there's like a gap that wasn't explored. And maybe that's what makes the series creepy. But I also kind of want to, it'd be cool for Die Hard fans to kind of like get more explanation towards, you know, the origin of him.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah. And I believe in the more recent iteration of, I think it was called Nightmare on Elm Street.
Oh, the remake.
The remake, right? Yeah. I actually haven't seen that one, but I think there was something that they did touch on his origin slightly.
They did.
They probably, have you seen it?
Yes.
Okay, so they expanded more than the previous films probably.
Yeah, this the 2011 one. I think it was 2011. Well, the remake. That one it definitely like made it so that he was kind of like a molester of children, and he was, the kids of the preschool were being hunted down, and so it did kind of explore kind of like theories that fans always had throughout the years and kind of like expanded on those. But it's an all right film. It's not like, oh my God, it's not like crazy, but yeah, I definitely recommend it if you wanted to see it.
Yeah, I do. I want to go through the old classic ones because I haven't seen all of them.
I think Rooney Mara is in that film.
Ooh, cool.
Rooney Mara, Katie Cassidy.
I admire. Yeah. I like her. She's cool. She's cool.
But yeah. Yeah, it'd be interesting to see this prequel. I kind of miss Freddy. I don't know about you. Because I was like watching the entire series throughout this month.
Nice.
And so I'm like, I kind of miss Freddy Krueger. So to hear him say this at a convention, I'm like, oh, that's really exciting. I would love to see this. Possibly.
Yeah. I would say Freddy Krueger is probably one of my favorite franchises of, like, the big ones. Like, as in, like, Jason, Michael, Freddy, and I guess you could say...
I miss the claws.
Texas Chainsaw.
So are you guys saying, like, between a fight of, like, Freddy versus Jason, I mean...
Huh?
Well, I mean, if you had to choose, you put one up at the top.
No, I would put Freddy at the top for sure. I think... First of all, I love his power set. Mm-hmm. Like, being able to kill people in their dreams, is amazing. And also, like, in the first movie, he was able to, like, transcend that, and he comes into the real life, too. And so there are ways to get him in real life, which is, I think, is awesome. And second off, his films, I think his movies like have the coolest practical effects, in my opinion, which is like what entices me so much to horror. Like one of the reasons why I came to love horror was because of the practical effects of it all. Like as a kid, I was like, man, this terrifies me, but I love what I'm watching. Like I love the effects and everything.
The deaths were so creative.
Yes.
I miss creative death scenes.
They're wild. I remember absurd, yeah.
Dream Warriors when he smashed the girl into the TV, and I'll never forget that kill.
Dude, that is classic. Yeah, when he lifts her up and just, yeah, dude, that is dope. I remember that. Yeah, I saw that a long time ago.
Freddy, we miss you. Chat, let us know if you miss Freddy. Comment down below. We need to tweet this. Let's get this movie going, this prequel movie going.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of remakes, but I'm down for this one. Why not?
Or the prequel. Not a remake, but a prequel.
Oh, a prequel. Yeah, it's a new take, you know? All right, moving on, I got this next story. So pretty much quick casting news for Run. So if you guys remember the film that came out recently, which I'm sure you did, it's called Searching.
Oh.
Yes, Searching was starring John Cho, and it was a success, critical success for sure. And so director Anish Shanganti is directing a new thriller titled Run for Lionsgate. And he also co-wrote the script with friend of the show, Seb Ohanian, along with producer partner Natalie Kasabian. Well, it was mainly Shanganti and Ohanian who wrote the script, but of course, Seb also acted as a producer, and Natalie Kasabian also a producer. I just want to shout her out, too, because they were both on here, and we love that interview. And so Collider got the scoop saying that the Emmy-winning and American Horror Story queen Sarah Paulson will star in Run, which is a huge get. Yes. And my God, I cannot wait to see her shine with the directions of Anish Shanganti. And I just already love this team. I love what's coming together. Like, I trust them as filmmakers, although they are young. I feel like, oh my God, like Searching was just so great.
That movie was phenomenal. The ride, that roller coaster ride, I can only imagine like what they're gonna do for this film.
Yeah, and then that twist at the end, I didn't see it coming.
Nope.
My God,
it had you. It was just playing. It was screwing with you the entire ride of the film.
And so smartly too, like. Ugh. Mm-hmm. So it was so intelligent. So we have a bit of the story. So the story follows a teenage girl raised in total isolation by her mother being played by Paulson, whose life begins to unravel as she discovers her mother is hiding a sinister secret.
I want to know that secret.
Yes. I also want to know, is this going to take place all in one house?
Yeah.
One room?
I know. Not on a computer, is it?
I know. How is the daughter going to catalog everything? Like, I'm curious. So shout out to them, and I am looking forward to their next film. Let us know if you guys saw Searching, if you guys enjoyed it, if you guys are excited for the next project. I really want to know. We can talk about it. And, yeah, I got this next one as well. So, pretty much, another friend of our show, of the show, Lynn Shay, we just had her on about 2 weeks ago now. Or no, it was last week.
Was it last week?
Oh my God, no, it was last week.
Oh, it was last week, Monday.
Wow, yeah. Look at that. Yes, because she was promoting, I believe, Scream Fest. And so she got to talk with comicbook.com recently, and she touched a bit on the Grudge remake that's coming out. Yes.
And I completely forgot she was going to be in that film, so it's super exciting. I know. Exciting.
Isn't that awesome? You got to have a legend like her. And also, John Cho is going to be on there, too. I have the whole stars breakdown. We'll go through them. But I want to go through this quote. So they asked her about, you know, the Grudge, and like, what can we expect? And she goes, wait until you see this. It's the scariest movie I've ever been a part of. Not even maybe. Oh, and it's the scariest part I've ever had, bar to none. I think it comes out next August. I'm very excited about it. The horror fans are going to go insane. That I can promise you.
All right.
Oh, she's revving it up.
Oh, my gosh. I'm really excited about this film.
Yeah.
Yeah. At first, I was afraid because I think they're kind of like, they're bringing it to the States, right?
Of course. Yeah, it's going to be, oh, yeah, the so setting. It's not the setting in Japan. Yes.
But for her to say this, I trust her, too, because she's a horror legend, and she's in it. She's, also, all the films that she's done, it's crazy for her to say that.
She has over 200 acting credits, and she's been on a plethora of horror films. So you gotta take it not with a grain of salt.
Absolutely. This is like, I just wonder what they're gonna do with it.
And what makes me even more excited, they asked her what makes it different, and she replies, what will make it really different is Nicholas Pesch, who is a writer-director who is extraordinary. I mean, he's a real visionary. And I have a soft spot for Nicolas Petsch because he directed Eyes of My Mother. The Eyes of My Mother. Los Ojos de Mi Madre. Because it isn't, I believe it's in Spanish. And it is a twisted, maniacal film. It is gut-wrenching. Everything you think it's going to happen doesn't. Doesn't happen. And everything that happens, you're just like, like, you don't even know how to react. You're just like, okay, let me strap in for this ride because I can't escape from this. And you'll want to leave. And you're like, no, you're gonna watch this. And okay. You're just like, oh.
So strap in at the movie theater for The Grudge remake.
For sure.
Okay.
And so some stars, just to go over, like, what we have to look forward to, you know, who's in it. Andrea Riseborough from Mandy, and she played Mandy in the film. She was extraordinary in that. Also, Damien Bichir, who was in The Nun recently. Yes, he was the main guy in The Nun. Yeah. Not Frenchie.
Not Frenchie. Oh, you saw The Nun?
I saw The Nun.
Okay.
I saw The Nun.
Oh, I never heard... Okay, I'm sorry, off topic. I was like, I didn't know if you liked it or not.
We can talk about it later.
Okay.
Yeah, that's fine. Also, John Cho, of course, from Searching. And also, yes. He was on the Exorcist series that I believe got canceled now, unfortunately. Yes. And then Betty Gilpin, who is on Glow. She plays, she was like the American mom, pretty much.
Okay.
Right? Okay. I forgot her character name. But yeah, she's an awesome. And also William Sadler from The Mist, and Jack Weaver, and Frankie Faison.
And Demon Knight.
Ooh, thank you. And Betty Gilpin from Demon Knight as well.
Oh, William Sadler,
my bad. From The Mist and Demon Knight. Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was a little unfamiliar with him, but thank you. Also, this is being released August 16th, 2019. So, yes. And also, I was speaking of Nicolas Petsch. I actually have we have the release date for his next film called Piercing. So, yes, that picture right there gives you a little taste of what you got to look forward to.
Very piercing.
Very, yeah, it's lit.
Oh, very nice.
Thank you. So yeah, you will see his psychological thriller Piercing release in limited theaters and on digital HD and VOD platforms come December 7, 2018. So if you thought that horror was going to end by around November, because that's kind of how I thought it was going to go down, because you know Overlord comes out like November something.
Yeah.
Actually, not the case.
All wrong.
I believe this will be the second week of December. And I am super looking forward to this because it stars Mia Wasikowska from Crimson Peak and Stoker. And also Christopher Abbott from It Comes at Night. And I really enjoyed him in It Comes at Night. And that's actually his eye right there that was being shown. Yeah, and Mia's the one who's going to be torturing him.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's going to be like a weird, like... The man's being tortured by the woman.
Oh my gosh.
It's crazy.
What?
So the press release said this. Ben's psychological horror with comedy and stylish neo-noir, resulting in a sly take on the fantasy of escape and the hazards of modern romance.
Fantasy. Alice in Wonderland's pissed. She's going to be like, get your eye ready, boy.
Yeah, dude. It's
exciting.
I believe what it is that like they go off to a vacation or something, and then... I believe they are a couple.
Oh.
Or they might meet at this vacation resort, you know, getaway. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, one starts to like, I like this girl. And
so he doesn't realize how kinky she really is.
Basically. I guess not. It's going to be right. 50 shades of needles. I don't know.
50 shades of red, I think.
Or cigarettes. Yeah.
All right.
But yeah, Piercing is actually based on audition writer... Ryu Murakami. Ooh. So Ryu Murakami's 1994 novel of the same name, Piercing. Okay. So if you can't wait for December 7th and you want to get a jump on this story and like learn more about this, you can actually read the book Piercing by Ryu Murakami. And I'm sure it's super cheap right now. And also, if you want to check out Nicolas Petsch's directing style, check out Eyes of My Mother. And watch it alone, unless you have friends that are like really into horror, then by means watch it with your friends. But like I saw it by myself, and it was a wild ride. All right, take it away.
Really excited about that. What do you think? Oh, but I'm more excited. Well, personally, I'm more excited about this. We have our next Glass trailer.
Yes,
we're showing it right. Here it is.
There it is.
Oh,
so we try to describe what we see for our audio listeners.
Oh. It's dark.
Door closes. Oh. Silhouette. L. Silhouette of glass.
And our queen, Sarah Paulson.
There she is. Yeah.
Oh. We won't be lonely anymore.
You have two new friends. You can't trust Mr.
So
Glass.
There's so through Glass's door, the door opens and he sees David Dunn and he sees my James McAvoy's Kevin Wendell Crumb, and so he's like, "You're not alone." When he said that, it means he has inmates next to him. So Sarah Paulson here is using lights, like flashes of lights, to bring out the different
personalities.
Personalities of Kevin.
You're not going to shake my hand and let me walk out of here.
It's funny because she has so much power too in this, like in this setting, yeah, that we didn't even realize until this next trailer came out.
Right.
Because she's the one basically kind of holding them, not captive, but they're like in this asylum basically,
uh-huh,
and she's like overseeing them.
So somehow it shows somehow that Elijah gets out, Mr. Glass gets out, goes to the beat where Kevin is, played by Denzel McAvoy, and he's able to use that same flickering light, the flashes of light to bring out the beast in Kevin. If you haven't seen Split, go watch Split, and you'll know what I'm talking about. And he has the purple suit. Yes.
So they're essentially teaming up too. We're kind of seeing.
Yeah, they team up. Glass and the Beast team up. My God, two villains versus one hero, one mastermind, one hero, one beast.
But one of them's gotta betray the other at some point. I feel like.
Depends if they both have mutual
goals. Yes. They might not.
They might not. You know, depends.
They're gonna start their own league. Yeah. And our girl Anya was seen.
Yeah, Anya Taylor-Joy.
And Jay Sandwich.
Oh, that's a great scene. It's a scene of the Beast lifting up a cop car, and the shot just looks great. You need to get out. Oh, that
and
sound.
And he's terrifying. He too, is as the Beast.
He is, and he gets all jacked up and swole. Just
like, oh my gosh.
What have you done, Elijah? I'm guessing that's his mother. It might be his mother. Because I know his mother is going to be in, like, the original actress is going to be in this as well, yeah.
Oh, it might be his mother. I thought it was just Sarah, but...
It might be Sarah, too. Yeah,
it might be his mom, though, if she's going to be in it.
She'd be, like, disappointed in him and stuff. Oh, my God. Why, Glass? Why?
So, that trailer just happened.
Yeah.
And I don't think it showed too much, you know? Like, I think it was a really exciting trailer. We kind of got the premise of it now that we're seeing. So now we can, like, you know, figure out how the hell... them going into the real world and kind of trying to take over, and how Bruce Willis's character is gonna like try to stop them.
Yes.
So there's just so much to speculate. And oh my God.
And he gets his like green like hoodie on, like that poncho looking thing. Mm-hmm. His superhero and costume.
Then Anya's just gonna figure out her superpower and just like wail on the Beast.
Imagine. Oh my God. Her power is compassion.
Oh,
and empathy.
Oh, okay. Or that.
At least that's what it seems.
Okay. She's a peacemaker. I'm fine with that, too.
Also, we have another trailer.
Yes, we do.
And this one's for?
This one is for, we talked about it last week,
Pet Cemetery. I don't want to be buried.
Wait. Have you seen the Pet Cemetery yet?
Nope.
It's okay. It's totally fine.
I have not. So I have failed you. I have failed this
podcast.
You're
fine, but we can watch this trailer.
I will try to watch it by next week, then.
No, it's kind of good that you don't know. Yeah. Seen it yet, because then it's you can watch take. This, and yeah. You don't know what's going on, basically.
Yeah, I mean, I have an idea of what's going on, but okay. Yeah. Fun fact, directed by two directors, this one.
Oh.
Yeah, Dennis Widmer and Kevin Kolsch.
All right. You know, this kind of gives me a little bit of like, truck.
Dude, that truck. Okay, so it's very
remember
quiet, and there's a
truck
that just like, boom,
yeah, just
flies by and terrifies.
Don't forget about that truck, okay?
Yeah.
I will say that.
Oh, interesting.
We'll see if they, you know.
Can we crank it up a little bit?
Are faithful.
Thank you.
Dare each other, go into the woods at night.
Old man gruff voice. Don't go into the wood. I love that.
It gives me a little bit of, like, I guess it's just because it's like a forest setting. It kind of like gives me like Quiet Place vibe a little bit.
Yeah. I was also thinking it comes at night.
And the family. It's like a mom, dad, that daughter. That
is
so true.
So. I know. The setting is very Quiet Place / It Comes at Night.
Completely different synopsis.
Yes.
Synopsis.
Because this involves like zombies in a sense, right?
The living, the undead.
The undead. Yeah,
it's coming back. The cat. The cat. A damn truck. It's creepy too. They like it's, the kids like in their masks.
Yeah, that was.
And they're like playing instruments.
That did creep me out. Yeah. Very a lot of dark shots. Oh.
Creepy children. You know.
Creepy children.
They usually don't creep me out, but
that's a big night.
It's different in the Pet Sematary.
Oh. I love this editing, though. This is a great trailer. This is the first trailer. This mm-hmm. is great.
Yeah, and I dropped, like, unexpectedly.
Right.
As soon as we got, like, the cat picture, we got the trailer, too.
Wait, didn't we make an announcement that was going to drop on Thursday?
Did we? No. We did the Glass trailer.
Oh, you're right. So we got two great trailers last week. My God.
I love trailers so much.
Trailers are great.
They hype me up so much.
I'm pumped. But yeah, that's
I want to know what Carrie thinks too. Carrie loves the Pet Sematary, so I'm excited to hear what she has to say about it.
I can't wait to like this we need to get closer to it so we can talk about it.
Oh, and it comes out April 5th.
Yes, it
next
does.
Next year, 2019.
2019, yes.
And then do we say when Glass comes out? That comes out January 18th.
Yes. Just right off the bat.
Because we're gonna have like that little that time where we don't have a whole lot of war.
There's going to be a lull like between probably like
end of December, early January. We're going to be like kind of empty. We're going to be really hangry.
Hangry.
We got Glass to look forward to.
Mm-hmm.
And later on, Pet Sematary.
And I have been thinking of a little, a little break from the show. But that won't be until after Overlord, at least.
Okay.
Yes.
No, totally fine.
Which is, because I think it's going to be a big one and I would love to talk about it on the show.
Yes.
But yes, we'll work that out behind the scenes, not on the show.
Let's keep you updated.
Let's get rolling. Let's show some chat some love. So I have the chat here with me. Everybody in the chat, thank you all for joining. Rugged English, my boy. Thank you. Rory Calhoun. Oh, he's new. Hey, welcome to the show, bud. Let's see. Edgar Alves. Classic. Thank you so much for joining us. Sky Patterson, super classic. Also, he's like on all the other shows here on AfterBuzz TV and stuff. Rugged English also loves the con guys and the scare guys as well. That's actually where I recruited him. And I will be sending you that poster. Don't you worry. I'm going to do it tomorrow morning because I got the morning off. I don't have to say that. Another new one, Christopher Zeta, or I don't think I've ever noticed you before, but thank you so much for joining. He says, yay, I'm watching you guys from the hospital. I hope everything's all right, man. Always say positivity. The mind is an incredible thing. I strive to stay positive as mm-hmm. much as I can, just because it feeds to my well-being, and I think if I'm positive, it feeds off to everyone else, mm-hmm. you know? So just hang in there. I hope everything's fine with you. Sega Sports Legend. He says he loves Freddy, too. I wish I could go into Ariana's... Wait, never mind. I'm not going to read that.
All right. Ariana Grande, look out, girl. She's going to be in that film. Watch her get casted.
Just broke up with that Pete guy or whatever.
Oh, her nightmare's coming to reality, man.
Zephra, also, Freddy's one of the best. I agree, yes. So thank you all so much.
Shout out to the chat.
The chat is lit. I love right the chat. Now.
I wish I apologize for not chatting with you guys. I was too busy on my phone looking at the rundown. I apologize, chat.
Understandable.
We love you. That's we all do that love matters.
You. Yes. Thank you so much. Please give us those thumbs up on YouTube and like. And if you want to talk about something after the fact, since I can't really be seeing all of your things right now, you can comment down below and we can just chat about it, you know? Or hit us up on Horror News PTN and also on Instagram or Twitter, and we can chat there. Send me a DM. Let's move into releases for the week. One big one.
Oh, what could that be? I have no... What are you talking about,
Anthony? Rhymes with Schmalloween.
Following? Is that the right following?
It stars the guy from Star Trek.
Uh-huh.
No, wait, it doesn't. That's just his mask. It's Halloween, everybody. Woo! Michael Myers, Halloween. It is the sequel to the original Halloween, but it's not really I wouldn't say advertises that. It's just not in the name, you know? Mm-hmm. But yeah, they retconned everything after Halloween, the first one.
Yes.
So this is the another sequel to Halloween. So
not even the second one. Yeah. It has no connection to the second one.
Exactly. So this is a Halloween verse now, mm-hmm, because you have different timelines.
There's
now,
like, so many, and they're so confusing.
We also got the Rob Zombie one,
which is its own separate.
Oh yeah. My God, yeah. So that's gonna be awesome. I think. Well, we actually have a guest on next week, but the week following that, we will definitely. Yes. Definitely.
I'm so excited.
Actually, the week after that, I think it might be Halloween. I'm not sure. Anyways.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, we're going to talk about it for sure, Z's. Don't you worry your pretty deadly little head about that one, kiddos.
I'm so excited.
Let's move into The Abyss.
Yes, absolutely.
All right, The Abyss.
You have a good one, right? That just came out.
Yeah, so pretty much this is the segment where we talk about movies that just came out and whether we liked them or not, and we recommend them. So I saw Apostle on Netflix. I actually saw it in two parts because I fell asleep last night. I woke up, saw it today. Mm-hmm. Directed by Gareth Edwards. He has a special place in my heart and in Steve's heart because he did the Raid series.
Hey!
Hey!
You know.
And we love those movies. My God. Raid 2,
we do.
Raid 2 is like the epitome of action for me. Like, this is the top like line of action. Synopsis is, in 1905, a drifter on a dangerous mission to rescue his kidnapped sister tangles with a sinister religious cult on an isolated island. Not gonna lie, I had a lot of, like, reminiscence to Resident Evil 4.
Oh.
Yeah, because it's kind of like Leon Kennedy going to Spain and saving the president's daughter, and it's Dan Steven playing the character of Thomas Richards going onto this cult island trying to save his sister. Granted, he's not shooting anybody or anything, but there are some really cool ecstatic scenes. It stars Dan Steven from Legion, playing Thomas Richard, the main character. Bill Milner, who plays Jeremy. We also have Mark Lewis Jones, who plays Quinn. He is the main antagonist, I would say, of the film. And I hated him so much. I wanted to scream in my room, but I kept my cool. Also, Michael Sheen, amazing. I think he was one of the best actors in this film. He plays Prophet Malcolm, and his acting is phenomenal. Bill Milner is Jeremy, who was in Dunkirk. So he was, yeah, so that's a huge credit right there. Also, Lucy Bonten plays Andrea, and some personal highlights of mine. The setting is great because it's so capturing. You really feel like you're in 1905 and you're in this, like, isolated island. I really like that. It made me become more immersed in the film, and there was rarely anything that took me out of the film other than, like, oh, what's this actor been in? Like, nothing from the film actually made me be like, oh, wait, what was that about? No, it was great. The gore is so graphic and gruesome, it's awesome. Like, there's not a lot of gore,
yeah, but when it
happens, it's like, oh my gosh, right. Like, geez Louise, this is awesome. And also, I like that there was some, like, if you guys know Silent Hill, there's, like, some Silent Hill-y kind of elements to it. Like, there's a guy who has this a mask that's, like, his face is just, like, wrapped in this weird, like, it's not even a mask. It's, like, made out of a lap sack
or something.
No, not even a lap sack. It's, like, made of, like, weeds. Like, weeds just wrapped around his head, and it's crazy.
Oh, my.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that was actually, like, part of the celebration. That's a cool scene, too. It was weird. That was a weird scene, but I liked it. It's a little like, Shining.
Cult vibes.
No, yeah, it's a super cult. Okay. Like, these people, it's run by a man who was excommunicated, was on the run, and they escaped, like, prison, him and three other dudes on a boat, and they came to this island, and then they decided to establish a community there, and the cult of the woman that he heard beckoning them to the island and stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, it was interesting. It's a really great film. I really enjoyed the plot. Is very, it's straightforward, but it's solid.
Mm-hmm.
It has elements too of, like, kind of like the ritual too,
okay,
which I thought was really cool. Like in a sense, like the cabin scenes and everything. But I would recommend it. It's really cool. I would give it about like 3.5 stars for sure.
Okay.
It was a fun movie to watch.
All right, nice.
And yeah, that's my abyss for the day.
I might now have to watch it if you're saying all these like Silent Hill vibes.
Yes,
but would you say it's like a slow burn? Because my pick this week is kind of like a slow burn.
It's kind of slow. It's 2 hours long, hours 10 minutes long, but it didn't feel that long. You know, also, I didn't see it in one sitting, which might be an effect. But at the end of the first hour, it hooks you. You're just like, holy crap! Right. Yeah.
Well, mine for the week was I Think We're Alone Now, not the Tiffany song, but that stars Peter Dinklage and Elle Fanning. It's directed by Reed Murano. And it's the quick synopsis. Peter Dinklage's character is like kind of, he feels like, he thinks he's the last person on Earth, basically. Because there's an apocalypse that happened. Everyone's dead. We don't know why. But then he meets Elle Fanning's character, or she kind of stumbles upon him.
Ooh.
And they develop a relationship. I really enjoyed this film. I think I would kind of give it like maybe a 3.5 or 4 stars. There's something that really stood out to me in this film. One line that Peter Dinklage says is that, or Elle asks him, aren't you alone? Aren't you like scared? And he responds, well, I felt alone when there were people around. And so before the apocalypse happened, and that just stuck with me. So
yeah.
It's a slow burn, but I really appreciate the acting. You know, Peter Dinklage, Elle, they're freaking amazing.
Phenomenal, yeah.
Something happens in like the end, middle falling action. You're kind of like, ooh, what? No way. So definitely check this film out. You can watch it on YouTube or Amazon, you know.
Yeah,
rent it.
It's been on my radar as well.
Buy it. It's really good.
Oh my God. I can't wait to watch that. And then Elle Fanning, if you haven't seen Neon Demon, directed by Nicholas Winding Refn, fantastic film there too. If you haven't seen Game of Thrones, my God. Who,
where are you?
You're under a rock.
Come on.
And, that's our show.
Yeah. Very good.
There you go. That's another edition of Horror Movie News, number 47.
Yeah.
Stay tuned for number 48 next week. I would highly, highly recommend watching Castlevania.
Oh yes, absolutely.
So watch that Castlevania on Netflix. Watch it. It's four episodes. It's about 2 hours long.
So watch it twice.
I'm actually gonna watch it again. Steve and I saw it the other day, and it was fantastic. The animation is by far like one of the best I've ever seen.
Hand drawn,
and it's all hand drawn. Thank you, Steve. Hand drawn. We are gonna have a special guest on the show, and it involves Castlevania. So we should watch it.
Woo!
You should all watch it.
Right.
And that concludes our episode. Ollie, put yourself over, bro.
Hey guys, I'm Ollie Drennan. Follow me on all social media platforms at Ollie Dreamer. Check me out tonight on the Purge After Show on AfterBuzz TV at 8 p.m. And also check me out on the My Hero Academia After Show with Carrie. She'll be here at 6 p.m.
On
AfterBuzz TV.
Yes, and I also engineer that show, and I talk here and there on that show as well. And again, everyone, thank you so much for joining us and being on the live chat with you. Thank you all. Thank you, Rugged Sky, everyone I mentioned.
We love you.
Yes, I appreciate it. My name is Anthony Becerra. You can find me everywhere at TonyBTony_. Watch Castlevania, and goodbye. Until next week.
Peace.
From Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.